In these services, we are considering together the feasts of the Lord that are recorded for us in the book of Leviticus, chapter 23. In Israel, there were three feasts that took place in the first month: the feast of Passover, the feast of unleavened bread, and the feast of first fruits. And then the fourth feast we looked at the last time, the feast of Pentecost, was observed not in the first month, but in the third month. And then there was a gap of three more months until the seventh month, in which three further feasts were kept unto the Lord. Those were the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, that which the Jews call Yom Kippur, and the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, it may be a question in your mind, what were the people doing during those 3 months when there were no feasts? Well, the answer to that is very simple. They were in the fields gathering the harvest. And I think we can learn from that. Every Christian should be involved working in gathering in the harvest. Every believer is here on this earth to occupy till Christ comes. There is a field in which we are to work. And the Lord Jesus told His disciples and us by extension, look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. We ought to be involved in that work of soul winning, of witnessing, and by God's grace, bringing in the sheaves. If you think about the people of Israel, after their harvest time, they celebrated the Feast of Trumpets. That feast really involved, on a whole day, trumpets being blown from the morning until the evening. I don't know if they had sore ears after that took place or not. The trumpet is a very, very loud instrument. But that's what happened all day long. For the whole day, the sound of the trumpet was heard in the camp. The Feast of Trumpets. It's mentioned in Leviticus 23, and God says in verse 24, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a rest day, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, and holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. This feast, I do believe, like all the others, has relevance for us today. There's a spiritual message in the Feast of Trumpets. I want to consider it with you tonight, with the Lord's help. I want us to consider God's message to us in the sounding of the trumpets on that feast day. And there are two basic thoughts that I want to look at with you. First of all, let us notice the purpose of a trumpet sound. We have read tonight from Numbers chapter 10, and we did that deliberately, obviously, because it speaks there of the use of the silver trumpets. The Lord told Moses to make two trumpets out of silver. They were actually made out of one piece of silver. Of a whole piece, He said, shalt thou make them? And then He gave a whole variety of uses. He gave a whole list of different ways that those trumpets would be used, the occasions on which those trumpets would be blown. And as we look at that portion, we find that the use of trumpets in Israel denoted various things on different occasions. For example, one purpose of the trumpet sound was for wakening. And most of us use alarm clocks, but if someone was to come to your room and blow a trumpet in the morning, I guarantee you it would be just as effective, probably more so, than the alarm clock. It is something that would be very appropriate for wakening. Let me say this, that the Feast of Trumpets, mentioned there in Leviticus 23, it began the new civil year in Israel. There were many fast days and many special rites and ceremonies to be observed in that month. The people were aroused and wakened up by the blowing of the trumpets so that they might prepare themselves for those occasions. The trumpets were actually blown in order to call the people to shake off their spiritual drowsiness and to search and try their ways before the Lord and to repent of their sins. This was the purpose of the blowing of the trumpet. It's interesting that the Day of Atonement was only 9 days later, after the Feast of Trumpets, and the people obviously would need to be wakened up to this fact and would need to prepare for it. And that was part of the reason why the trumpets were blown. I think it's interesting for us to note that in the Bible, a trumpet blast is often associated with the voice of God. If you go with me to the book of Revelation, to the first chapter, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 10, the Holy Spirit records the words of John the Beloved, who was on the Isle of Patmos, exiled there for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. He says, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." There are only two things that are described as the Lord's in that particular sense in the New Testament. There's the Lord's Supper and there's the Lord's Day. "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day." The Lord's Day is the day that we call Sunday. It's the first day of the week. It's not our day. It's the Lord's Day. It belongs to Him in its entirety. And while that's another subject entirely, we shouldn't miss the sense of this statement and what God is saying to us here. "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day," and we should certainly seek to be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Not thinking our own thoughts, or speaking our own words, or doing our own pleasure, as the book of Isaiah puts it, but seeking to be in a spiritual frame of mind on God's own day. But notice, he says, "And I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet." It was like a trumpet sounding. And of course the speaker is identified in verse 11, saying, "I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last." And as you look at the context, you'll find that it's the Son of Man. Verse 13, it's the Son of Man. The Lord Jesus Christ is the speaker, and His voice is associated with the sound of the trumpet. I think that's also to be seen in chapter 4 of Revelation, verse 1. Read there, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." The voice, he said, the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me. The voice of God. You know, God's word is like a trumpet sound in the ears of men. And it is designed for wakening, to waken them out of their sleep. It's true to say that sinners need to be wakened. The verse that comes to mind here is Ephesians 5 and verse 14. "Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." Gospel preaching is just like a trumpet blowing in the ears of sinners. Sinners whom the devil has lulled to sleep. And the trumpet sound of the Word of God, of the Scriptures, is designed to waken you up to your need of a Savior. Remember how the prophet was told, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions and their sins." I think it's not wrong to say that the devil has sinners chloroformed. He has them rocked into a deep slumber, and they don't see any need whatsoever of being saved. And they need to be wakened up. They need to be wakened up. And God employs the trumpet of Scripture, the trumpet of the Gospel. A few blasts of that trumpet of the Gospel in the hand of the Holy Ghost can and does waken sinners up to their need of repentance and of faith in Christ. And I pray tonight that if there's anybody that needs to be wakened up spiritually in our midst, that the Lord would do that. That the Lord would blow that trumpet right into your spiritual ear. Would waken you to your need and bring you to Christ. But not only is it true that sinners need to be wakened, very often saints need to be wakened. You know, we can, as believers, nod off. I don't just mean in church. We can nod off on the soft knees of the world. We're studying, as you know, the life of Samson. It's very interesting to read of him in Judges 16, that Delilah put him to sleep on her knees. Just put him to sleep there in that nice warm place and comfortable place. And it was a very dangerous thing for him. And it's possible for us to get into a sleepy state spiritually as God's people. And we need the trumpet voice of the Lord to waken us up. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the church at Rome, in Romans 13, he said this. Verse 11 of Romans 13. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us rouse ourselves. Let us waken ourselves. Because the night is nearly over and the day is at hand. Time is moving on. Sometimes we need to be wakened up. The Bible speaks of this matter of people needing to be awakened from sleep. In other places, I think of the parable in Matthew 13 and verse 25. It's interesting how this is the parable, by the way, of the wheat and the tares. And when the Lord spoke that parable, I believe He spoke it to His disciples, and He wants us to get the message from it. Let's look at verse 24, Matthew 13, 24. Another parable put He forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. And of course, as you look at the interpretation of that, down there in verse 38 and verse 37, it says that the one that sows the good seed is the Son of Man, that's Christ. The field is the world. And it says the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. But notice verse 25 again. But while men slept, his enemy came. That is the enemy of the Son of Man, the devil, that is. His enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Notice when the devil is at work. The devil is at work when men are sleeping. And in my view, the thought there is of the church and of the people of God sleeping. And the devil, the enemy, comes and sows tares among the wheat. The devil never goes to sleep. He's always wide awake. And we need the trumpet of God's word in our ear to keep us awake to what's going on. We're not to be ignorant of the devil's devices. Again, look at Matthew 25 and verse 5. This is an interesting portion, because while we would want in our own natural flesh, in interpreting this portion, to say, well, yes, the five foolish virgins were asleep when the bridegroom came. I want you to notice that's not what the Bible says. This is talking about the coming of the Lord. It says, Matthew 25 and verse 5, while the bridegroom while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. They all slumbered and slept. Who? Verse 2. Five of them are wise and five were foolish. They all slumbered and slept. All the sleepiness of the church. We need to listen to the trumpet sound of God. Remember from whence thou art fallen and repent and do the first works. May God help us to be alert and to be wide awake Christians. The trumpet was used for wakening. Something else the trumpet was used for, and that was to call the nation of Israel for worship. Just go back there to Numbers chapter 10 for a moment. And it tells us there, in verse 2, make thee two trumpets of silver, of a whole piece shalt thou make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly, and for the journeying of the camps. And when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. So notice how it mentions this assembly, this gathering together of the Lord's people. Now go to verse 10 of Numbers 10. Also in the day of your gladness, and in your solemn days, and in the beginnings of your months, ye shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, that they may be to you for a memorial before your God. I am the Lord your God. In other words, the trumpets were associated with worship. The trumpets were blown to call the people of God to assemble on the worship days. When God wanted to announce the seasons of worship, He told the priests to blow the trumpets. I believe God blows a trumpet every Lord's Day, morning and evening. And He says to His people, go to my house and worship me with others of like precious faith. I think that we're living in a day when many turn a deaf ear to God's call to assemble for worship. There are folks who profess to be the Lord's people, and I have to say that if they ate their meals as irregularly as they attend church, they would have malnutrition, or they would starve altogether. These things ought not so to be. When we miss out on the worship of God's house, we miss out on food for our souls, and it affects our spiritual health. And while I'm on that subject, I believe that the whole of the Sabbath is the Lord's Day, the whole of it. 24 hours. The Lord never said anywhere, remember the Sabbath morning to keep it holy. He said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. Those are 6 24-hour days. So if the Sabbath is to be a day that is kept unto the Lord, it's a 24-hour day. The Lord's Day. That's unpopular in the world today. It's unpopular in many churches. But it happens to be the truth. And God has blown the worship trumpet in His Word. He's blown it, for example, through the Apostle Paul. Remember what Paul said in Hebrews 10, verse 25. That's a verse I'm sure that's well known to many Christians. It's like a trumpet blast in our ears for worship. Listen to it. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And the word literally means not abandoning the synagoguing of ourselves together. The word synagogue in the New Testament is the same word for assembly. Not forsaking, not abandoning this practice of meeting with the people of God. He says, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And the word exhorting really means encouraging. Encouraging one another. It's great to see you in the house of the Lord. Great to see you at church. Great to see you worshiping with us today. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Folks, I believe that irregular worship is an insult to God. It's an insult to God. The trumpets were blown for wakening, they were blown for worship. But a trumpet was also sounded in the camp of Israel for warning. Go back to Numbers 10 and verse 5. When ye blow an alarm, there's the alarm clock, only it's a trumpet. When ye blow an alarm, then the camps that lie on the east parts shall go forward. Now notice the next verse. When ye blow an alarm the second time, then the camps that lie on the south side shall take their journey. They shall blow an alarm for their journeys. The trumpet, you see, announced danger. It was a warning to the people. And again, if I might apply this to our witness for the Lord, every Christian has a great responsibility to blow the trumpet of warning to the unsaved. Just to think of that verse again in Isaiah 58 verse 1, cry aloud and spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. It talks there about showing to the people their transgression and to the house of Jacob their sins. The trumpet of warning. Oh, how we must be alert in sounding the warning sound of the gospel trumpet. In Ezekiel chapter 33, the man of God was shown his responsibility and his duty to be a watchman. There was a grave responsibility on the watchman in Israel. You see, in any great city, there would be those appointed to watch for the approaching enemy. And it speaks about that in Ezekiel 33. You see verse 2, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. In other words, if you see the enemy coming, you blow the warning sound, he doesn't take heed to it, then if he's killed, it's his own fault. That's his own fault. As we would say in Ulster, it's his own funeral. Literally. Because verse 5 says, he heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But read on, verse 6. But if the watchman see the sword come, and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel, therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth, and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Now I know that some have taken these verses and have used them as a cudgel to smash the heads of God's people and make them think that every moment of every day they have to speak to every last person that they meet. They have to make sure that every last person they meet, they have to get their blood off their skirts. And I believe that that's a misuse of this scripture. However, I don't want to go to the other extreme and say that there's never any opportunities the Lord brings our way to speak to people, and that we're absolved of any responsibility to speak to folk about the things of God. Because as I read these verses and I compare it with what Paul said of his own ministry in Acts chapter 20, it's very clear that Paul believed that there's an application here to evangelism, and particularly an application to the preacher. If the man of God doesn't warn sinners from the pulpit, he doesn't make sure that their blood is off his skirts, he'll answer to God for that. How do you know that? Because the Bible says in Hebrews 13, of those that have the rule over you, they watch for your souls as they that must give account. They must give account. I must give account to the Lord. And notice what Paul says in Acts 20 verse 26. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. And don't we read in another place in the book of Acts where Paul said to his hearers, your blood be on your own heads, I am clean. Now I go to the Gentiles. Oh, there is this responsibility to sound the trumpet of warning. Our sinners a lot of times don't listen. They don't want to listen. And a lot of them to whom you witness will perish. But our skirts will be clean. We have sought to blow the trumpet. And if we don't sound the alarm, then there is a sense in which we are held accountable before God. Are we warning the lost? Are we seeking to take those opportunities that we have to speak to people about their need of Christ at home or in our place of employment or in the street or wherever it may be? There's 100 opportunities every day that the Lord brings our way, and some of them are what I call blood-bought opportunities. Doors that the Lord is ready to open and will enable us to sound the trumpet if we're willing to sound it. The trumpet for worship, the trumpet for warning, the trumpet for warfare. The sound of the trumpet could be a signal also, according to Numbers 10, verse 9, for warfare. Let's read it. Numbers chapter 10, verse 9. And if ye go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresseth you, then ye shall blow an alarm with the trumpets. And ye shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and ye shall be saved from your enemies. The trumpet, you see, the trumpet blast, it was sounded to call the armies to battle. And the reason that a trumpet was used is that it could be heard as a signal even above all the other noises of the battlefield. Remember how the Apostle Paul said, if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? The trumpet was used because it had a very shrill, loud noise that could be heard above all the other din of the battlefield. And God has blown a trumpet of war for His church in every age. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, looking unto Jesus, who has gone before. Christians are not to be in the playground, they're to be on the battleground. For there's a constant battle to fight. J.C. Ryle of Liverpool fame in England, Mr. Protestant he was called by his friends as well as his enemies. He said he believed that a lot of Christians were trying to go to heaven on feather bed armchairs. They're not involved in the fight. I could use a different analogy. I think there's a lot of Christians who would like to sail to heaven on inflatable sunbeds instead of being on the deck of the battleship. But God has said, has He not, fight the good fight of faith. Paul said we are to be set for the defense of the gospel. Jude verse 3 says, earnestly contend for the faith once delivered. We're living in the days of ecumenism, religiously, where just about anything goes and you don't say anything about anybody or anything. Otherwise, you're going to be most unpopular. This is the day of fence sitting and of straddling the fence and talking out of both sides of your mouth at one and the same time. But I want to tell you, sooner or later, the Lord's people in true churches either have to give in to the enemy or fight. There comes a point where you don't have a choice. That is the choice to remain neutral. I'm glad I'm in a church that doesn't need to tell people usually where it stands on the issues of the day. There was a preacher in North Carolina who's now with the Lord. He wrote a song called Militant But Magnificent. And what he was meaning by that was that you can stand for God, you can be strong in the faith, you can contend for the faith, and at the same time, it is a magnificent thing. It's not necessarily off-putting, at least to those who know and love the truth. And I pray that God would help me to be militant but magnificent for Him. The trumpet is used for warfare. So there's the purpose of a trumpet sound: for wakening, worship, warning, warfare. But from the purpose of a trumpet sound, I want to say that there's the prospect of a trumpet sound. And that's our other point tonight. The prospect of a trumpet sound. We're talking about the Feast of Trumpets, but it points forward, does it not, to a coming day. For in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 51 and 52, we read these words. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. That means that every believer will not die. For there will be some who are alive still at the day when Christ comes. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And mark this, at the last trump. Now that's not the one before the last. That's not the one before a whole series of seven more. That's the last trump. I remember speaking to somebody one day about this subject who shall remain nameless, and said, How can you explain that this is the last trump if there's a trumpet that comes 7 years later when the Lord comes back after this so-called tribulation? And that person said to me, it's a very long blast. Well, that was said tongue-in-cheek. At the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruption shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. What's it talking about? It's talking about the coming of Jesus. It's talking about the second advent. The Lord Jesus will come again. Now there are people with their little charts and their books and their prophetic videos and all the rest of it, and their Left Behind novels and all that trash. But I want to tell you, despite all of the nonsense that is talked about the second coming of Jesus, and especially about that which will happen after He comes, for that's even more nonsensical when you get into it, I can tell you this, Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming again. There is no doubt about it. Just as sure as He came the first time, He's coming again. And there's going to be the sound of the trumpet. Now, what we said concerning the sounding of trumpets in Israel also can apply to this great last trump when our Lord returns. What did we say? Well, we said that the trumpet sound was to waken. Well, look at what it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's not be afraid of these portions of Scripture. They're often misused by those who have a false view of eschatology. But of course the Lord will set all of that right one day. The Lord will show us all where we were wrong when it came to some of these things. But look at 1 Thessalonians 4. What wonderful words these are. These are comforting words. Verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians 4. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. That's those that are dead in the flesh. That ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent, and that's an old English word that means go before or go ahead of. We shall not precede, if you like. We will not go before them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. And how anybody can find something secret about this, I'll never understand. Because the word for shout there is a military term. It's a military shout. It's a shout of command. But notice, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I said the trumpet sound was to waken. And doesn't it say here that those that are believers in Christ who have died are asleep? You know, God uses these terms deliberately. Them which are asleep. He doesn't say them which are dead. He says them which are asleep. Because that's what it's like for a believer to be dead in Christ. It's just as if they're sleeping. Now, their souls are not sleeping. Let's be sure about that. Let's be clear about that. Their souls are not sleeping. Their souls are with the Lord in heaven, but their bodies are asleep. And them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. Those who are asleep in death will be raised to life because they're going to be wakened from their sleep. And one of the things that will waken them is the trump of God. And what a commotion there's going to be in the cemeteries that day. What activity there's going to be in a lot of churchyards that day when them that sleep in Jesus rise to meet the Lord. A trumpet is going to be blown that dead saints will hear clearly. The trumpet that is in prospect is a trumpet sound to waken. But it's also a trumpet blast for worship. Oh yes, because the saints are going to be assembled to worship their King forever. It has been said by many as a writer, especially the Puritans, that heaven is an eternal Sabbath. And that's true. The trumpet sound when Jesus comes is going to gather His elect unto Him from the four corners of the earth. And they're all going to be assembled around the person of Christ. And they're going to worship Him. Some often conjecture about what believers will be doing in heaven. There are those who have the idea, based on mythology and movies and all that sort of thing, that we're all going to be floating about in clouds, lying about on couches and people dropping grapes into our mouths and playing harps and all of that sort of thing. But you know what they're doing in heaven? Revelation 22, verse 3. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. And they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads. And you go back in the book of Revelation, and you'll find that it tells you in chapter 7 and verse 17... that the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. They're going to follow the Lamb whithersoever He goeth. They're going to be caught up, you see, with the person of Christ. They're going to worship Him. They're going to worship Him. The worship of heaven must be a wonderful thing. I believe there'll be music in heaven. Music is a gift of God. It's a beautiful thing. Good music, that is. And there'll be music in heaven. There'll be singing. What a joyous thing to be there. There's a hymn that says, "We speak of the land of the blessed, that land, that country so bright and so fair. And oft are its glories confessed, but what must it be to be there?" To be there, to be there. Oh, what must it be to be there? It's a place of worship. So the trumpet sound is to waken. The trumpet blast is for worship. But also I want you to see that the trumpet will be one of warning. Not warning for believers, but warning of judgment for sinners. There's no secret rapture. Sorry if that punctures your balloon. There's no secret rapture. But I'll tell you, there's going to be a world of sinners that will hear that blast of the trumpet. And Christ is not only coming as the King of His people, but He's coming as a judge. And for those that are unprepared, it will be too late. Away with the notion of a second chance. Away with the idea of some sort of a probation after Jesus comes. It is not true. It is not true. When Jesus comes, it's the summation of the history of redemption. It's the culmination of the history of redemption. And those that are not His at His coming will be lost forever. And that trumpet is a trumpet of warning. But the sad thing is that trumpet of warning will be too late for many. And then it will also be a sound of warfare. You say, well, how could that be? Well, if we look again at 1 Corinthians 15, and there's a reference there to the trumpet, it is actually a military trumpet. It's like a bugle being sounded on the battlefield. 1 Corinthians 15:52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound. That's a military trumpet. It is an alarm of battle. Now when Christ comes again, there will be a battle. It's often referred to as the Battle of Armageddon, but actually it's not really a battle at all. At least worthy of the name, because there's only one winner. It's going to be very swift and a very one-sided event. The Bible tells us what will happen when Jesus comes in a number of places, but I want you to notice with me 2 Thessalonians and the chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And reading from verse 6, look at this. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels, the angels of His power, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints and to be admired in all them that believe. Now notice carefully, this is all seen and viewed as one event. In other words, the judgment of the ungodly and the glorifying of His saints. It happens at the same time. Not 7 years apart. It happens at the same, one and the same time. When He shall come, revealed from heaven, to take vengeance on them that know not God, it says, it's when He shall come to be glorified in His saints, verse 10, and to be admired in all them that believe in that day. So the trumpet is definitely a trumpet of warfare. And woe betide those who are not the Lord's when the last great trumpet sounds. You know, the coming of Christ is either something to look forward to or something to dread. It's one or the other. The trumpet sounding for the second coming of Jesus is either a wonderful, joyous event or an event of tremendous judgment for those that are not saved. And I trust tonight that each one of us that are here in this room are ready by grace for the coming of Christ. We're ready for that day when the trumpet sounds. How do you get ready for the coming of Christ? Repenting of your sin, receiving Christ as your Lord and Savior, obeying His word, for that's what it says there in that scripture that we just read. It talks about taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. What does it mean to obey not the gospel? Well, it must mean to disobey its command. The command of the gospel is to repent and believe. And those who fail to obey the command of God will be punished with everlasting destruction. But if you come to Him and trust in His blood, He will save you. And then when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather on their home beyond the shore, and the roll is called up yonder, you will be there. You'll be there because you've been prepared by grace. When the trumpet of the Lord sounds, it will be a joyful sound, a pleasant sound to the ear of the believer. I trust that you know Him. I pray that if you're not saved, that the Lord would bring you to Himself, that you would hear the warning sound of the trumpet of the gospel, that you'd be ready for that coming of Christ at the last trump. Let's all pray.